Christmas story. Amazing. All the things you've heard, the songs we've sung, the carols we've sung tonight. There's a phrase I want to just draw us to out of one of the most popular of all the Christmas songs, I suppose. You hear it, and you've heard it now through the malls and on the radio, in your car, and your CDs. Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. I'll ask you a question on this Christmas Eve. Mary, did you know that one day your baby boy would walk on water? Mary, did you know he would heal a blind man with a touch of his hand? Mary, did you know that the one that you delivered would one day deliver you? Questions are important, and they deserve answers. I'm going to ask you a question tonight based on a popular Christmas carol. What do you hear on a silent night? There are phrases that are popular, and we see them over and over again through the season. Joy to the world. And that somehow describes the season for us. Hark, the herald angels sing, and oh, come, let us adore him, we've declared tonight. But there is a question to be answered before we leave the place tonight. What do we hear on a silent night? Luke chapter 2, while the shepherds watch their flocks by night. They're going about life as usual, and suddenly there's an pronouncement from angels that arrive. And they declare that there is born a Savior in the city of David, and they should go, because there's great joy in that place, and they're going to discover joy like they've never known before. So they go and they discover the Christ because they heard something on that night. Something about nighttime that quiets things down, kind of changes the pace of our life. And all of us know, and I think everybody in the room would agree, that we live our lives far too noisy and far too busy. And it's important that we have nights like this night, especially during this season. We've gone through the season now, haven't we all, just making all of our preparations and buying gifts, planning gifts, wrapping gifts, and now you're going to spend some time paying for the gifts for a while. But we've gone through the season, and you've seen it, I've seen it, maybe we've all become victims of it, the hurriedness of the season. I was doing a little bit of last-minute shopping today, but it was there's a good excuse and reason for it, righteous reason for it, and so and so I was checking out, and the lady says, are you ready? And I said, oh, I'm very, very ready for Christmas. She said, it's been surprising to me how many people today I've said to them, are you ready? They said, no, I've got so much more to do. We get so busy in this season, and thank you, God bless you, for taking the time this Christmas season to have a moment of quiet, where you quiet your heart before the Lord and with one another, and we focus on the reason for this season. And let me ask you again then, what do you hear on a silent night? In 2002, a guy named Howard Stapleton had a daughter who left the house to go buy something from the store and came home in tears without the item that she had gone to purchase. He inquired and said, what's wrong, honey? She said, well, I went, and in the entrance to the store or mall was just boisterous crowd of young guys and young people, and they were boisterous and loud and arrogant and obtrusive and even threatening. And so I just couldn't go in. I felt intimidated or threatened, and she came home without that. He got to thinking about that, and it was notorious that at that particular store, that particular place, the teens would gather and just hang out for hours at a time. And now you realize there's really a problem because people are kept from enjoying the entrance or being intimidated by these. And so he put his little mind to work, and he developed the mosquito. Not the one that you hate. This is an electronic mosquito, and it emits a sound. This is amazing to me. But it emits a sound at a frequency that only basically teenagers hear. If you're over 25 and beyond, you don't even hear this sound. And so this became very popular and began to be developed. And they've actually used it in mall areas and any area where groups of young people would hang out and begin to be a little obtrusive or in the way and obnoxious. And they start emitting the sound. Within 20 minutes, kids just start leaving. Because they hear this sound that nobody else, adults aren't bothered by, don't hear it. There's actually a word for this. It's called presbycusis. How many have presbycusis? How many know a guy named presbycusis? Presbycusis is from the Greek word presba, meaning elder, and acousis is sound or hearing. And so really presbycusis is the aging ear. And over 25, after about 25, you just start losing a certain amount of hearing. You get to 64, as one preacher I know, and you really lose a lot. I stood right there one Sunday morning and decided the sound wasn't loud enough. And I couldn't hear the worship leader, so I went to the back and told them in uncertain terms, if they wanted to keep their position in our church, they should ramp it up a bit. I was told later it was really, really loud already. Well, I have presbycusis, I guess. And so from then on, I've never gone and given any opinion on the sound because I realize there are certain things I don't hear as well as I used to hear. What do you hear on a silent night? I wonder how many of us in the room have spiritual presbycusis. I wonder if there haven't been some nights, some days, some weeks, some months when God has spoken, but we didn't hear. Now, I know there is a selective hearing that teenagers have and older people as well. Didn't you hear me? No, I didn't hear you. I told you 5 times. Really? And we get our kids for that. And I wonder how many times God would say to us if we would listen, I tried to tell you, I told you, but you weren't listening to me. What do you hear on a silent night? A few years after he developed this mosquito, they developed Buzzin'. Buzzin' was a dance track that uses the technology of the mosquito and actually adds 2 melodies, one that adults can hear, one that only the young people can hear. In fact, the mosquito became a most downloaded ringtone because they would get it on their phone and then their friends would call them. They would hear it, but their adults, parents, nobody else would even hear that they were receiving a call or a text. So in classrooms, they would hear this thing and they would get to their text. Nobody else, the teacher, nobody else would even know it was happening. Well, there's a whole spiritual application there, isn't there, about things that some hear that others don't hear. So they made this soundtrack, this dance track, where the kids would hear one melody, but adults would hear another. There's 2 different things going on. And I want to tell you that there's always 2 different sounds being played in your ear as well. What sound have you been listening to, and what do you hear on a silent night? Mary, what do you hear on a silent night? We're not told in Scripture whether it was at nighttime. I kind of imagine it to be at nighttime when the angel came and said, "Behold, you're highly favored," And her first response was fear. I think that's what would happen if an angel appeared to you at night and started saying stuff. And so as she begins to listen to the angels, she hears something she had never imagined she would ever hear. And now she has to make a decision. Will she respond to what she's heard? A voice from heaven through an angel saying, I've chosen you, Mary, to bear the Christ child. Mary, will you let Jesus be born in you? She had a choice, by the way. She could have said no. Mary, will you let me use your life to touch other lives, Mary? Joseph, will you allow me to risk your reputation and let your engaged bride-to-be become pregnant? You're going to go through a lot of questions and a lot of jokes are going to be told about you, Joseph, but I need a man who will protect a woman who's being used by me in a special way. Joseph, will you allow me to use you, your reputation, and your dreams for your future and your bride? The innkeeper, will you make room for a traveling mother and father who's now obviously the mom is pregnant and the woman is pregnant and going to give birth? And would you make room? Well, we all understand it's already a no vacancy sign there. Okay, I got that. There's no room. All the rooms are rented out. Well, innkeeper, could you maybe just move out of your room for a night? Oh. Yeah. Oh. And let me allow me to have my son born in a warm room instead of a stable. The innkeeper must have ignored what must have been. Come on, let's be honest about it. What kind of a heart wouldn't at least think, should I give them my bed? And then the human response of, no, that's mine. They shouldn't be here anyway. They should have made a reservation through hotels.com. Shepherds, will you allow me to interrupt your life and your plans and leave the sheep and go and see the birth of the child? Wise men, will you travel long distances that took literally, some say even months to a year, to travel and see this one born King of the Jews? They saw a star, but there was something in the heart. They heard a voice too. Follow this star. Will you ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit who will come to you tonight and say, follow the star, my son Jesus? Will you, on this quiet night, what do you hear? What do you hear? We hear a lot of voices when we quiet our soul. I've said it already, we all live in a world far too noisy and far too busy. So on this quiet, silent night, what do you hear? Because I say that God is speaking. I say that there are angels in the room coming to people throughout this room. Not only now, but later tonight and tomorrow on Christmas Day. And he'll ask you some questions or give you some challenges or ask you to make some arrangements to make room for Jesus in your life. And you have a decision to make. Will you allow Christ to be born in you? Will you allow the voice of God to redirect your life, to open you to possibilities you've never seen or imagined on your own? What do you hear on a silent night? I know this. Because not because I'm a pastor and I deal with people who have problems and struggles. I know this because I'm a human and I have problems and struggles. Do you take confession on Christmas Eve? I, like you, hear voices. I love it when the voice says, behold my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. That's a good one. And I've heard that sometimes. That was good, Amos. And I've heard this too. What were you thinking? What do you hear? when you quiet your soul. You hear the voice, the accusing voice of the enemy, who, like a Herod, would like to destroy the life of Jesus in you. Herod, hearing that Jesus was born, made an edict that every child under the age of two, every male child under the age of two, would be killed. Listen, there are still Herod spirits in the world today. That wasn't Herod the king, a physical king. It was a physical king. But that was the spirit of the arch enemy of your soul, Satan himself, who said, let's snuff out the life of the Messiah that's going to be born, because he'll save his people from their sin. So there's the accusing voice of the enemy that says, boy, you've blown it there, and there's no hope for you, and you've sinned, and you're sinning right now, and you know better than this, but you keep doing it, and it's never going to change, so why are you even trying? Why? Some of you heard this voice. I guarantee it. You can tell me afterwards. Some of you heard this voice today. Don't go there. You're not living right now. Why would you do that? The accusing voice of the enemy. Some are hearing the echo of someone who said something over your life or into your life that devastated you. Maybe the word divorce, maybe the word I'm leaving, maybe on and on the list could go. You're hearing the echo of something declared over your life. A teacher when you were 5 or 7 or 12 who said you'll never learn, you shouldn't even try. Or a parent who said you're never going to amount to anything. And you hear the echo of that every time you quiet your heart and quiet your soul. And I want to tell you on the authority of God's word, you can hear a different voice tonight. Who will say to you, all you who labor and heavy laden, come unto me and rest. I'll give you rest for your soul. What voice are you going to listen to on this Christmas Eve? The voice of the accuser or the voice of the one who doesn't accuse and doesn't even condemn, but he does convict. And there's a difference. See, condemnation will drive you from God. The voice of condemnation will drive you from God. The voice of invitation that says, don't do that anymore. Let me help you change that area of your life. That's a voice of conviction. And conviction drives you to God. Condemnation drives you away. You've got to decide, which voice am I going to listen to? The one who says, I can forgive all of your sins, or the one who says, you are unforgivable. Which voice will you listen to on a silent night? What voice do you hear on a silent night? Accusing voice? The voice of condemnation? The voice of no hope and no future? Or the voice that says, come. Come to me. Let me be born in you. Let me... put the life of Jesus in you, Mary, and you'll carry that life of Jesus till full term, and then others will be touched. Mary, will you let me use your life? Joseph, will you let me? Shepherds, will you be, just allow me to redirect your life? Some of you are hearing a voice right now saying, the Lord saying, I want to redirect your life. Put you on a path and let you come to a place where you'll discover the life of Jesus like you never have before. What do you hear on a silent night? I'm afraid that some of us have that aging ear where we've walked with Jesus a long time and now he says things and we don't even listen. We don't even hear it anymore. You know, it's one of the biggest, greatest prayers I have. I wasn't born in church. I was actually born in a preacher's house, not my dad's. I was actually an African-American preacher in Spokane, Washington. Called them black preachers then, and he was a hellfire black preacher, so they tell me. I kind of missed his first few sermons. I'll never forget the night I was born. I cried like a baby. I don't know where that came from. Let's finish this up. What do you hear on a silent night? Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you heard a voice saying, go to Capitol Church for Christmas Eve. Maybe you picked up a flyer. Maybe a friend or a family member invited you. But I want you to know it was more than a friend or a family member, or more than a flyer, more than an email announcement. It was the voice of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that came upon Mary. An angel came to you. Might look like your mother. Might have looked like a cousin who invited you to this night. And tonight, you have good tidings of great joy. Your life can change. Your future can be different. And I pray that no one here would have an aging ear, that we would all hear the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, come. In a few moments, we're going to take a candle, and it's going to be the symbol of His love and light and life to us. But at this moment, I want you to quiet your heart even more. In these next moments, I want you to listen for the voice of God to you. What do you hear on a silent night? I promise you this. There won't be a person in the room who doesn't hear His voice. I promise you that. If you want to hear it, you'll hear it in these next moments. And tonight, Christmas Eve, you mark it down in your mind, and maybe later you write it down somewhere, the decision you make tonight about what you hear on this silent night. Lord, You brought us here to celebrate, and we have, to remind us of what You accomplished and what You did by coming to Bethlehem, and we thank You. But Lord, You brought us for a higher purpose than that. You brought us here to do what You did in Mary, redirect her life. The shepherds redirect their life. Joseph, reorder his priorities. And so, Lord, would You do that tonight in all of us? Now, in these next moments, would You speak to us as we continue to sing? And then in moments, we're going to quiet our hearts even more to hear Your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Light. It's the oldest element in the universe. The Bible says that the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. The prophet said, men were walking in darkness, and then the light came. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And the darkness cannot, old King James said, comprehend it. Meaning the darkness can never overcome light. In these moments we pass the light we have received, this one candle in the front of the room representing Christ, His life, His love, and His light. I took one candle and then passed it to the staff, and now they to you, representing how the love of Jesus has spread through the world from that night in Bethlehem. Tyrants have tried to extinguish the light. Dictators and despots have tried to annihilate, eliminate the voice of Jesus through people down through the ages. But darkness will never overcome light. Light always overcomes darkness. His love and His light tonight begins to fill this room once again, just moments ago, deep in darkness. But the light of His love, the light of His life, is here tonight, warming our hearts and lighting our ways. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you have done, for all that you give us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? Our night is coming to a conclusion, but it would be wrong to just rush away from this moment without giving many of us an opportunity to respond to what you feel, what you've seen, what you've heard on this silent night. What have you heard on this silent night? I want to do two things with you in just these closing moments. First, I want to ask for a simple response from the first group of people who would say to me, "Pastor, I've heard God say something to me about my life that I need to do differently, or something He wants to help me with that I had marked off as hopeless. Tonight I've heard the Lord speak to me, and as best I know how and can, I'm going to respond over these next days or weeks or months and into the new year. I'm going to respond to what I heard God say to me." And if that's your determination, decision tonight, whatever it is in your life, in a moment I'm going to ask for any who've never opened your heart to Jesus and tonight want His life to touch your life and respond, you know that you need a Savior. But I'm going to do that in just a moment. First, for anyone in the room who say, "Pastor, tonight I heard the Lord on this silent night. What I heard on this silent night was the Lord say, change this, do this, or let me help you with this." And you'll just, by raising your candle just above your head, you'll say, "Pastor, that's me, and I determined tonight to respond to what I've heard God say to me tonight." Just raise your candle, would you, and say, I'm making a decision now to respond to what I've heard on this silent night. Yeah, that's a bunch of us. Just hold it there for a moment. Lord, tonight I raise mine because there's things I know you're asking me to do. And in obedience, I want to do that, Lord, in the coming weeks and months. And so on this silent night, what I hear your voice saying, I want to do and be obedient, as well as those who raise their candle just now, in Jesus' name. Thank you that you give us grace to do what you've asked us to do. Now with your, bring those candles down, and I wonder who's in the room would say, "Pastor, I've heard the story of Jesus, maybe some of you many times. I've sung the carols maybe many times, but tonight something's different. I know I need a Savior, the one who came in Bethlehem, I know came for me. I've heard the voice of the Lord to me tonight saying, open your heart to me." You may not understand all that that means, but you know you need to make a fresh start tonight toward Jesus. If that's your prayer, you know you've heard the Lord say, "Come to me." I want you to just raise your candle as we did already. Raise your candle, raise it high and say, "Pastor, that's me tonight. I'm coming to Jesus on this Christmas Eve. I'm coming to Jesus." Raise your candle, raise it high. "Pastor, that's me." God bless you. God bless you all across the room. Isn't this great, church? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to wait a moment because sometimes it just takes us a moment to say, publicly do that? Yeah. Publicly do that by saying, "I'm coming to Jesus tonight." Hold it high. And Lord, for these, let's pray together all. Repeat this with me. Dear Jesus, I come to you tonight. Thank you for your love. And thank you for your light. And thank you for speaking to me. I come to you. Now help me from tonight to walk more and more with you and for you. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you for life eternal. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I wish you could see what I see now, the warm glow of these lights all across the room. God bless you. If you're glad you came to Capitol Church tonight for our Christmas Eve, go ahead and raise that candle up real high. Amen. God bless you. Oh, that's I wish I had a camera right here. This is amazing.